Usually, I'm paying attention to the clock and things like that. Now I don't have to. I know there's a few of you that are actually saying, no, that's not the way it goes. Well, I had a great sermon for you this morning. It was the best of the year. But we're going to take a different approach this morning. We have been talking about this Spirit of God. We talked about Pentecost a few weeks ago. I just wanted to touch base on one of the things that was mentioned there, and I think that it made us think about where we are now, the comparison that now Dr. Nestor Gomez did about the Tower of Babel, the city actually of Babel, and the tower, and how that usually was a matter of control of the people, because they wanted to be great people. And he sort of asked us to think about what does that mean now, when instead of having all these languages confused so that people would spread and this control and power was left up to God, now with the power that has been spread throughout to us, what are we supposed to be as church? And I know that that is a process, right? It is not something that happens in the minute. It's not something that happens in an immediate, but it's something that we need to work out. And the other issue that has been coming up and rising above us is, how is it that we can accomplish God's plan and mission for this congregation, for each one of us, for the church as a whole in the world? How is it that we can follow God in that journey? And we will touch base a little bit here on Deuteronomy, because this has a couple of things that are lifted up in this passage that I think are worthy of contemplating. And we'll look at chapter 30 today in Deuteronomy. And I'm getting good at pronouncing that. It's very hard. But we'll start with verse 9. We read verse 9 and 10. It's through 11, right? And then 14. And it says as such: "And the Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all your undertakings, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your livestock, in the fruit of your soil. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, as he delighted in prospering your ancestors, when you obey the Lord your God by observing his commandments and decrees that are written in this book of the law. Because you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away." And as we read 14, it says, "No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe." Let's pray. Father, as we meditate on these words and meditate on, again, our mission and how are we going to accomplish what you're guiding us to do, we pray that you might be the lead that inspires us, one who energizes us, and the one that gives us hope. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As you will know from last week's sermon, if you weren't here, I invite you to go to our website and listen to it, because there I make a confession. And my confession is that I don't like rules. Right? You remember that, right? Yeah. I just simply do not like rules. Whenever there is a rule for me, I am looking for a way to get around it. I mean, that's just the way that my brain works. I don't know if it's the Puerto Rican-ness. I don't know what it is. But there is something that just something that you say that I have to do this, and I just look for a way to go around that. And I have to struggle with it, right? I have to struggle with that. And as we hear here, God is talking Moses is speaking to the people of Israel, and is trying to remind them that there is something that they need to pay attention to. That there is something that they must recognize in their lives, that it is a primordial order. And that is to continue in the covenant, right? In the agreement that they have established. What's interesting is that he's reminding them that there is a promise involved in that one, right? Now, I want to ask you something real quick. Don't you like when they promise prosperity? Right? Don't you like that? I mean, that's awesome, isn't it? When somebody tells you that there is a prize on the other side of whatever endeavor it is, you're like, yes, I want to go for it. Right? That is something that is motivating. But then we go immediately to the cause. Right? There is a but here. If you continue to observe these things that I have commanded you. Now, as you well know, I've already mentioned to you that I have this rebel band on me. When my mom used to say, "Reuben, come here," I would have suddenly a hearing problem. I mean, I'm sure that you guys are familiar with that, right? Suddenly, it developed this thing about not necessarily being aware of what that means. Now, when Moses is speaking to the people, you need to understand that these folks were, all of them, they knew that what Moses was talking about. But they were like I was. La, 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 la. You know, I don't want to hear it. I just don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear this because it means that I have a responsibility. Right? It means that I have something to put on the table. It means that I have to invest myself in something. Now, I recently read that if you had put $20 in Amazon when it started, you would have $2 million right now.
Darn it.
Right? If you had invested $20 in Amazon as it started, it didn't make money for 10 years. Okay? But if you had invested that money now, today, you would have $2 million. Now, I don't know if it's that true because they were trying to sell me an investment portfolio, right? But what I do know is that if you invest in something, right? If you invest in something, you will get a, what?
Reward.
If you invest yourself into something, you will get a reward. Now, this is challenged all over the place. And that's because there's always skepticism. Right?
Right.
About what you invest in. You're always questioning whether it's worth it or not. The other thing that happens is, am I worth it? Are you seeing the distinction here, right? If you have $100 and you're going to invest them, you're always thinking, is this worth it to be invested in here? And the other part of it is, am I a good investor? Will I be able to stick with it? Will I be able to just see all the ups and downs of the market and still trust that that is the good thing to do? Isn't that true? That's the human mind, right? And then that's how it works, and that's how it plays in us, in our realities. Am I worthy? Now, today we have come to a place where all the investment that is taking place, it's in us. Right? We have come to this place in our lives where all the investment is to find out about me. What are the good things that are about me? What are those things that I can do? And what is my identity and whatever it is, whether it's politics, social, life, culturally. I mean, I'm always looking for who I am. Right? And not only that, but I am looking to see if I am accepted or worthy around in our culture.
No.
Ain't that true? And then we would try to distinguish ourselves somehow. The next thing we know is that everybody's doing it. So we're undistinguishable. I'll tell you why. When I was going to church in my younger years, I used to wear jeans that were broken at the knees, you know, wore out, and sandals. Okay, this was a no-no anywhere, right? Now it's cool. Right? You see, now everybody's doing it, so everything is okay. For me, it was like a challenge to the church, because I wanted to be me. And when people looked at me coming into the church and says, look at this guy, who does he think he is? He cannot conform? See, that's the mode that we're in. We're always looking inwards. What God is asking of us is slightly different. It takes a slightly different perspective. It says, look at me. You want to find yourself? You want to know who you are? You want to know how is it that you can work in this world? You want to know what is in you? Look at me. This is the focus. Look at me. Look what I have stated for you. You do these things, you'll find out who you are. You'll not only find out who you are, but you will find out where you are. See, it's not necessarily the what. We get stuck in the word commandments. Right?
Right.
Oh, okay, it's just you, Rhonda. Maybe you and I could have this conversation, all right?
Right.
We get stuck in that. Because the moment that we hear this, we say, I have to do what? I have to do what you say? That's impossible. Right? Come on. It's truth. It's truth because what we're thinking is in our own capabilities. We're evaluating whether I can actually do that. And you know what we say? I can't. I can't be obedient to God's word. Why? Because it's impossible for me to do it. I am a sinner. But there's that promise. And we want it, don't we?
Yes.
There's still that stick that is dangled in front of us. I remember Charles Stanley, Dr. Charles Stanley. Anybody know him? Yeah. Dr. Charles Stanley said something in a sermon, I don't know, years ago I heard him. He said something like, you know what? If you think that you are unable to obey God, you are absolutely right. He said, it's important to be conscious that in our own strength, we cannot do it. Now hear me, because this is where the kicker was. But in the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And through Christ, we can do all things.
Amen.
See, because we are always in looking for the reference here. I'm definitely unable to do that. That is why Christ was sent to this world. That is exactly the reason why Jesus came to the world. If you look at Israel's history, if you look at everything that happened in their lives, time after time, they failed. Right?
Yes.
Didn't they?
Yes. Oh, yes.
And time after time, God would tell them, you dummies. I told you way back that if you stuck with me, you don't have to worry about anything. I'll carry you. But their eyes and minds would just wander to what was going on around them. And this is exactly what happens with us. And God is still standing there saying, look at me. Look at me. Notice, surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you. What happened with the impossibilities? What happened with all the doubt that we could have? Surely, God says, it's not too hard. Now, the implication of that statement is that you're thinking it's hard. Right?
Yes.
Because otherwise, God wouldn't even mention it. Correct? If he thought and he saw us just saying, God will do it. Don't worry about it. We got it. Right? He would be saying, man, you got it. You don't need me for anything. But he has to actually say it. I know what you're thinking. I know you're thinking it's hard to obey these commandments. But I have to tell you, it is not too hard. Because it's near you. And he says, it's in your heart. It's in your mouth. And it's in your heart. For you to observe. Now, what is it that makes this commandment or these observances or this requirement? What is it? What is it all wrapped in it? Well, we remember what Jesus said when he was asking the doctor of the law, what is the greatest commandment, right? What did he say? Right? Love your? Okay. So that's exactly how we wake up in the morning, right? Man, we are loving God. Every morning. I'm going to say exactly what I said last week. This is not about you guys. It's about me. Right?
Right.
Because before I have breakfast, I am praying. Oh, Father, you're so good. No, we're running in this life on automatic. Right? It's like whenever we open our eyes, there's a switch that is flipped. And our bodies just, they take over, and this is what I got to do, this is what I got to do, and then we do, listen, this is what I got to do, and this is what I got to do, and this is what it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because we think that it's all about what we got to do. It's not what, but who.
All right.
You with me?
Yes.
It's not what, but who. Who is enabling me to do these things? Who's the one that has blessed me with life so that I can do this thing? Who is the one that is calling me constantly? Who is the one that is looking after me? Who is the one that is speaking to my heart and my spirit? Who is the one that has chosen me? Who? And who is the one that has made me who I am? You see, it's not what, but who. And I think that this is so, so important for us to continually recognize. People, it's impossible for us, but nothing is impossible for God. Have you heard that somewhere?
Yes.
It's impossible for us, but nothing, it's impossible for God. And I told you 3 years ago that I thought that God was leading us to be the catalyst to open 4 or 5 congregations in the Denver area. Right?
Yes.
And you told me exactly what you're saying with your... That's exactly what you said, and that's exactly what I was saying. I know that that's crazy. Right? Because we're small. Right? Because we don't have the people. Maybe we don't have the resources. Maybe we don't have all the things we need to have. And you know what God is saying right there? He says, that's exactly why. And that's exactly why that's your mission. And that's your call. Because you can't do it on your own. If you could do it, then you wouldn't need me. I'm going to finish this sometime. Do we have time still? Okay. Surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. No. The word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. The word. The word is near you. Okay? This is my physical prompt here. The word is near you. The more that we are equipped with what God says, the more we are enabled to obey. The more we are enabled to trust, and the more we are able to fulfill the hope that He has for us. Amen.
Amen.
Remember I mentioned about the investment part, right? The issue with investments is sometimes we don't trust the investment, right? The second thing is sometimes we don't trust ourselves. But God trusts you. He trusted you with His word. He has given it to you. It's already yours. It is there. It is at your hands. It's near you. It's attainable. In other words, it's possible. And the other thing that we need to really understand is that it is not because we're great people that He has done that. It's because He's a great God.
Amen.
A great God that has been there and done that. That investment is worthy. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now we're going to sing a song. And be, be,